Thank you very much. Once again, here with you today. And a very special greeting to all the brothers and sisters of the church and in different countries, and also our first-time guests and newcomers. You may be seated. And I also want to advise everyone that have joined us and tuned into these live streams for over 2 years now, I invite you to go to the church, to seek the congregation, so that you may receive laying on of hands and prophecy, and also for you to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and for you to also live those wonderful experiences with our God. And so you are invited to congregate. And our God, He has sustained us throughout this entire time. And we have been in God's presence, seeking Him, praising Him, reading the Bible. We have reflected on His Word. God has taught us many things. And He wants us to not lose heart, to not be discouraged, to not let ourselves be carried away by laziness, but that each day we be strong and courageous, and that we continue onward with faithfulness in God's path. Let us be faithful to the Lord, so that one day the Lord may say to us, "My servant, you have been faithful. Come, come. And rejoice with your Lord," to that good, faithful servant. And that fidelity and faithfulness that we have is being constant. Why should we ever grow tired in following the path of the Lord? And why is it when a person maybe is in the path of the Lord for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, they get tired? And they turn back and they forget about God. They forget about the promises. They forget about all of the blessings and the benefits they've received from the Lord's behalf. We must be steadfast and consistent. Just as we are steadfast and consistent in our daily life, fulfilling with all our duties and working and watching out for our families and fighting for ourselves. In all things, we don't get tired. And people are always fighting in one way or another to live, to survive. And we don't get tired of also eating our bread every day or of resting and sleeping at night. We should not get tired of following the Lord's path. And we must be grateful. And we must seek God and give Him thanks every day. Every time we open our eyes to a new day, that faithfulness is what God wants. And this is what we are striving for here, each of us, to know and understand this path and follow it, and to do the will of our God. For today, while we continue with James, and I said to you in previous sermons, James was an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. He walked with the Lord. And he preached to the Jews. And the Jews, many of them, converted to the ways of the Lord. They converted to the gospel. They also became Christians. But they always carried the teachings of the law of Moses, and they wanted to sort of mix. They wanted to mix the law of Moses and mix the gospel into it. And it seems as though they did not want to truly submit to this perfect path, which is the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we find in James there is a teaching, an admonishment, maybe a bit harsh, because of the way that those believers in that time lived. But if we speak of the believers of that time, what might we say of the believers today? I think the similar things are lived in the congregation. Many of those things are still lived in the congregation. These very sad, displeasing things. Some believers do what is incorrect and wrong. Others do not submit or understand. Others are a stumbling stone in the lives of others who want to continue in the path of the Lord. And just as we are about to read here in James, I think that in our congregations, these types of phenomenons also occur. But we are not going to give up. But rather, we're going to continue onward steadfast, asking the Lord to help us to live an upright, holy life that He wants us to live. Just as we read in Hebrews, where the apostle said that we must live in holiness. And it said that without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And to see the Lord is to see His blessings, to have fellowship with Him, to have the Lord's hand blessing us in everything, supporting us, giving the spiritual gifts, the support, the power, so that we too may continue and work in the vineyard of the Lord and lay on hands and pray for people and for the Lord to work miracles and signs using us. So we must make an effort for all of this. And so the verse says that without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And so what we read here deals with holiness. It deals with our spiritual life. It is to learn how we must behave in the path of the Lord, how to behave ourselves in the congregation of the Lord. And here in James chapter 3, that we have prepared in the scripture, because as you have seen, we have been reading chapter after chapter until we finish the entire book. And today, we've prepared a very beautiful teaching, which here in the Bible, there is a subtitle. And I don't know about other Bibles if they have the same subtitle, but it is The Untamable Tongue. And the Apostle James, it seems as though he saw in the believers a lot of flaws and errors in the congregation. He saw a lot of pride, vanity, arrogance. He saw many people who wanted to occupy the first places. It seems as though they just wanted to stand out. They wanted to stand out. They wanted to have the first places for people to render reverence to them. And this is why the apostle speaks here in verse 1, chapter 3 of James. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers." So that they shouldn't all just be teachers. Now, this is about people who want to stand out and think to know a lot. They want to give themselves titles. And they live based off of titles and for people to revere them. Like a person not too long ago, they shared that they were with some brothers and sisters in our congregation. And the brother of the congregation, like this person, lamented himself and said, "Well, if you desire and you want, I can lay hands upon you so God may bless you." But this person said, "No, no, no. How can you lay hands upon me if I'm a reverend? I'm a reverend. I am superior to you. And I cannot allow you to lay hands upon me." Now, this is what this is saying. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." So, this is sort of saying, you think you know a lot. A person who thinks that they know a lot and they have a lot from God, that they have many titles, because there are some who say, well, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet. Oh, I am an evangelist. I know a lot. I know the entire Bible. I know it by heart. That's what some say. So here, the advice here is that there is no need to feel that you are a great teacher, because what you end up receiving is the Lord's judgment and condemnation, because whoever says they have a lot from God, they have to show it. They have to prove it to live a holy, perfect, upright life before God. So whoever says that they know a lot and they have a lot of knowledge of the doctrine of the Bible, so God is going to charge them and say, well, since you know so much, I demand this. I expect it. And if it's not this way, well, then this person will receive even stricter judgment. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And in verse 3, indeed, we put bites in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. It gives another example, and it says, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So these are the examples the apostle gives concerning the tongue, that small member we have in our body. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. So the tongue, it boasts great things. It talks a lot, is very proud, very pretentious, very haughty and arrogant and vain, and claims to know a lot and knows everything and knows more than others, has many titles, and we must then render reverence and honor because of their titles. And everything comes from the tongue. And we see here what it says about this poor tongue in verse number 6. This poor tongue here. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. What do you mean, a world of iniquity? The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Now these words spoken by James are harsh. These words about the tongue, but I would like today to read some verses here in the Bible that deal with the tongue. Because I think that the tongue, well, it's not completely bad like the apostle is saying here. No, because if that were the case, then we would say, well, have my tongue removed, because I don't want to be sent to hell. But let us read some verses in the Bible where we are going to realize that the tongue is not so evil and what the tongue should be used for. Let us read some verses where, and there are many verses where the Bible speaks about the tongue, but we're going to read just a few where we're going to observe the bad side of the tongue, the bad things that the tongue can do. Now here in Psalm 10:7, I would like for all of you to search, because you're going to read as well. You too are going to participate in the scripture. In Psalm 10:7, as I said, there are many verses in the Bible that speak of the tongue, but for lack of time, I only chose a few. Psalm 10, verse 7. I would like for everyone to read. Let us all read. And it says, His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. Okay. Here we find the bad things the tongue is doing. Because here in this psalm, it speaks of an enemy that our Lord Jesus Christ had, of those enemies who did not believe in him, and they became enemies, therefore. They spoke against him, spoke blasphemy, they slandered him, insulted him, they said so many things against him, and lastly, they condemned him to death, and it was all done by the tongue. So, it says here that mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble. And we continue in Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, 13. We're going to see, because we're going to read concerning the tongue so that we learn. And then we will say, well, the tongue, is it evil? Or what's going on with the tongue? Why is it that the Apostle James was so direct in saying the tongue was hell? So verse 34, 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So it says, keep your tongue from evil. And also keep your tongue from speaking deceit, or it says here, lips. But this is teaching us that we should not be inclined toward evil. There is no reason to do anything evil against anyone, nor speak any evil of anyone, nor should we ever slander, nor lie, deceive, bribe, con. What else could we say about the tongue? That we should not do this to our neighbor. And also, to deceive and lie to people to maybe gain fortune so that you are elected, so that you may occupy an exclusive position in a certain place, perhaps in a job or organization, in a business. So the tongue is used to do all of these things. And in Psalm 73, Psalm 73, in verse number 8, in verse 9, it says, in verse number 8, now here in this psalm, it speaks of people who do wicked things. And it says in verse 7, their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. And this is concerning the wicked. So they have more than heart could wish. Verse 8, they scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They are using their tongue in all of this. And we're going to realize whether the Apostle James was right in saying that among the members of the body, the most wicked one is the tongue. And it says in verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, meaning they speak against the word of God and they even perhaps commit blasphemy against the name of the Lord. And it says they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. So imagine this tongue. It is so strong and venomous, or how else can we say it is, because it walks through the earth doing wicked things, plotting. It behaves wickedly against all that is called beings, human beings, people. And here in 78, Psalm 78, in verse number 36, Psalm 78, 36, it says, now, this is concerning the people of Israel. When God taught the people of Israel his commandments and taught them to be faithful, to keep and fulfill all of the commandments, but they did not keep the word of the Lord and were not obedient to the Lord. And this is why God sent punishment to the people of Israel. He punished them. The Lord sent plagues, sickness. He sent pestilence. People died. And lastly, we know because of history, when the Lord sent the armies of Babylon to destroy and finish the people of Israel, the people of Israel who were called the people of God, the people who God had given his commandments to and had chosen them to be his treasure and to be his pride in the world, of God having a special perfect nation for himself. That's what God wanted, but this did not happen. This is why in this psalm, it begins to list out all of the punishment and the plagues the Lord sent them because of their sin. Here in verse 47, it says he destroyed their vines with hail. Because we're going to read Psalm 78 in verse 36, but speaking of everything God did in verse 51, it says, and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. So he did so many things for the people of Israel so that they could seek God, so that they could be in the presence of the Lord and for the Lord to be pleased of them. But this did not happen. And so going back, it says that in spite of all of this, in spite of everything God did for them, in verse 32, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. And it says, when he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. So they would remember, but for a moment. But in verse 36, it reads, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. So all they did before God was just flatter him. It was just appearances, as we can tell when we read the Gospels. We see how our Lord Jesus Christ, when he began to preach and teach, how all of them rose against him, criticized him, cast down his teachings. And they would say that they had the truth of God, that they were walking in the upright path. That was everything that they would say to the Lord. And this is why the Lord would ask them to show with their actions of what they were doing, because they were just pretending to be in the correct path. And they would pretend to seek God. They would pretend to pray. And this is why the Lord always taught them and cast down the way in which they sought the Lord. And it was always halfway and their hearts far from God. So it says that they would flatter him with their mouth, but they lied to him with their tongue. So they would use their tongue. Now, with good reason, the Apostle James, he spoke so badly about the tongue. Now, in Psalm 140 in verse 3, it says, let's read starting from verse 1 in 140, verse 1. It reads, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. Verse 3, let us all read. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. So, from the evil man. Now the Apostle James there in the congregation, when he was preaching and teaching, he sat down to observe, to look on all, to watch them, to observe their lives and testimonies and their example. And he saw that there was a fault in each person's life. They were not fulfilling God's word. They were not living or practicing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That they were discarding the commandments of the gospel, the law of the Lord, the law of the Spirit. And that they were devoting themselves to their pleasures, to their vanity, to their greed and covetousness. And the tongue was the main culprit. This is why the Apostle James was harsh in his teaching, and we've already reviewed a few verses, and there are many more. Psalms is full of these verses, and Proverbs is as well. But now, let's talk about the good things about the tongue so that we are a bit more motivated. We are a bit more enthused and happy. We're going to be happy in saying that it's not all bad. It's not all bad. What is the tongue for? Someone might say, well, what is the tongue good for? Why did God make the tongue? The tongue is good and it can be bad. But here, James, he was harsh. And now, when we continue reading in James, we're going to find that very stern admonishment about the tongue, because people, the believers, they gave free reins to their pleasures, to their feelings and thoughts, to the way that they think and believe, to think of themselves to be holy and wise. They believe themselves to be teachers. They believe themselves to be apostles and evangelists and prophets. But truly, they had nothing from God. This is what James saw. And this is why James was harsh with his teaching. Now, we could not overlook this teaching. I could have skipped to the next chapter where it talks about more beautiful things, but it is good for us to read and learn, and we be conscious. And we may say, what am I doing in this path? Why has God brought me to this place? Why did he bring me to this church, this congregation? For what? What is the purpose? What is the objective that the Lord has had in bringing me? Well, many. There are many things that God wants. What he wants is that we have peace, joy, security, tranquility. That we do what is good, what is right, upright, that we love God, that we do His will, fulfill His commandments, and one day we will attain eternal life. This is the beautiful part. That is the purpose of being in the congregation, the purpose of continuing and coming to the church consistently and reading the Bible. Psalm 35:28. What does it say about the tongue? It says, in verse 27, let's read there, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, says the Lord. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified." And this is said with what? It's said with your tongue. Verse 28, "And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Glory to our God." The tongue, it's not that it's bad, like James was saying. No, the tongue can be used for what is good. But what James wanted was for the tongue to only be used for what is good, which we're going to read. Not to use the tongue for what is wicked, but only good, as it says in this verse, that in that time when the Lord was preaching, teaching His word, they used their tongue to lie and deceive and pretend to seek God, and that they had a lot from the Lord. And the Lord realized that they, with their tongues, they flattered Him only. They spoke beautifully of the Lord, but in their hearts, they were far from God. And what we want to learn today is that, yes, as James said, yes, the tongue is a small member of hell to destroy spiritual lives, to destroy even a nation, to destroy an empire, to destroy a people, to destroy an institution, an organization. That's what the tongue does. The tongue is capable of it. But we too are going to learn the beautiful part about the tongue and what God wants, and how we, the children of God, the believers in the Lord, ought and must use our tongue for what is good. Are we going to use it for good or bad? So here in James, we're going to see if it is possible or not, if we should or we shouldn't. Now in Psalm 39:1, which I would like for you to all read, it says, "I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me." So, when the enemy is present before this person, that they should not stoop down to the enemy's level, but rather should restrain their tongue. Put a muzzle on it. Do not let yourself be carried away by your anger and wrath. Do not let yourself be carried away because he is offending you, but rather put a restraint on it, meaning have patience, be calm, be quiet, calm yourself down. Don't speak or say anything at all. Let that person who is wrathful, that evil person, say and do anything they want, but you remain silent. It is better for you to restrain your tongue, muzzle it, to prevent perhaps a tragedy later on. And in this verse here, which is Psalm 15, which in verse 1, for example, says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" There are people who say that they have a lot from God, like in James, where people would make themselves to be teachers and gave themselves titles without being teachers. So here, people, those who are arrogant, those who give themselves titles, they say, "Well, who will be in that tabernacle or on the Lord's holy hill? Who say that they're going to be there?" Well, they say, "Well, I'm the apostle, I'm the prophet, I'm the evangelist." But in this verse, it is speaking, and it says here, "Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Well, it's only that person who walks uprightly and works righteousness. And it says here, and speaks, meaning they're using their tongue here. They speak the truth in his heart. And to speak the truth in their heart, well, it encompasses many general things in that person's life. Because it's when a person will not deceive anyone, will not cheat, will not slander, will not be a false witness, will not lie, will not be involved in gossip and in criticism using their tongue. But rather, they are a person who speaks truth in their heart. And they do not backbite with his tongue, it says. Does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor using their tongue as well. Nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. So, this person who does not use their tongue to do all of these evil things, but on the contrary, they do what is right, what is upright, and this is why they are deserving to dwell and abide in the holy hill, to dwell in the tabernacle with the Lord. He, that person, is worthy. So this person, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. This person truly who walks doing what is upright, and they use their tongue in every way, not just in teaching, but also correcting and praying and praising God, seeking God, they do so with sincerity. Well, this person is the only one worthy of being in that holy hill and in the presence of God. And for example, we continue here, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury. Now, putting out their money at usury, what is used to do that? Well, your tongue, you speak. It says it's to promise, it's to try and convince people. It is to say, yes, I will loan you this, but give me this in exchange. Don't worry. Pay me however you want. They start off with so many things to try and deceive people so they fall into their trap. But then later on, that person has no way of escaping that problem, and the other person takes advantage and takes the little that they have. So, this psalm of those who dwell in the presence of the Lord, they must meet all of these requirements. But as we can see here, this requirement, it always comes from this small member of the body, the tongue. With the tongue you speak, you convince. With the tongue you lie, or you speak the truth. With the tongue, there is deceit, fraud, or lies. There's bribery, usury. The tongue is used for all that. But first, let's take a look at what 54 says. It says in Psalm 50, verse 1, the Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. So the Lord, he spoke. God spoke. And he gave us the example. He taught us. He corrected us. He taught us uprightness. Verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him. And so he shall not keep silent. And he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. And the Lord would be judging with his mouth, with his tongue. And says, gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. So he is giving us the example, speaking with righteousness, uprightness, to speak what is right. Giving an example to his believers, as in verse number 7, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. So the Lord, he was speaking what is right. His truth, his ways, his commandments, and teaching his followers, his believers to continue to make an effort and to know how to use their tongue, that small member. Now let's go to James 3. In James 3, and once again, we're going to review those verses again, because James, we find that James, again, he's a bit indisposed with the believers. This is why he said that many of them were calling themselves teachers, like in verse 1, that many were calling themselves teachers without knowing, and that they were going to receive a stricter judgment, for they were causing some to stumble. And some say, well, we don't make anyone stumble. But he says, if anyone does not stumble in a word, well, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, in Psalms, when we read about God's righteousness and he speaks, we find perfection in the Lord, in his teaching, his exhortation, and the way in which he teaches and guides us. And so we find that perfection, and that is what we learn from God. So this is why the apostle, this is why he gives an example that you bridle the horses in order to guide them, and also ships, which are very large, but they have a small rudder that they're able to turn wherever they want the ship to go. So that is exactly how the tongue is. Even so, the tongue, we can restrain our tongue. We can be prudent and be silent in the precise moment. In verse 5, it says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. And see how great a forest a little fire kindles. Yes, when we are not prudent, when we are not wise, when we do not learn to speak in the right moment and know how to speak and what it is we're going to say, and not to offend, not to hurt anyone with what we say or what we speak, even so with what we teach, without hurting anybody, we must be prudent. And never speaking beforehand, we must think and reflect on what we're going to say. So this is why the apostle in verse 6, he says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For with the tongue, there are a lot of evil things that are done. With a tongue, you can destroy a whole country. You can destroy an entire organization, a business. Very big things and little things too. There can come destruction of spiritual lives, for example, in a congregation. Just by speaking and being imprudent, or by lying, or by getting involved in things that are not what's fitting, or doing something incorrectly, we find that the tongue is used for all of these things. And the apostle does not want this to be the case. Verse number 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Yet, if we read Proverbs and Psalms, we also find when we praise God, when we glorify God and say to him, I will sing psalms to you, Lord. I will praise you in the midst of the congregation. I will bless your name. I will exalt you. I will seek you. So all of these things, we find that the tongue can be used for what is good, what is righteous. And when he says here that it is impossible for someone to place restraint on that tongue and tame it, but our heart, our mindset can tame that small member. And we are able to be careful with what we say. But if they say, oh, no, you must lie, it's just a little lie, say the little lie. No, you need to say those things. You need to go and you need to testify as a false witness. Say that you saw this, but you didn't really, but say that you did. So there it is. Our conscience, our heart, our mindset, and our reasoning saying, no, I have to restrain my tongue and not do that. I'm going to keep shut and I will not speak. I'd rather not speak. So you see, there is someone who can restrain and tame the tongue, because the tongue alone cannot restrain itself. So no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. And please read this verse, brothers and sisters. It says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Now, all of this I have heard in people who do not know God, in people who are not walking in the ways of the Lord. I have seen and I have heard people who say, yes, I believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. Oh, I don't do any harm to anyone. Oh, I don't hurt anyone. Or when have you ever seen me be drunk or steal? I'm not a thief. I don't hurt anyone. But with their tongue, they are doing other things, a lot of evil things. They don't restrain it. So the apostle saw this in a lot of people, and even in the believers and those who were congregating in the church, he saw this phenomenon. He says, with it we bless, and also with it we curse. Now, does God want us, the believers, we, those who have now partaken and enjoyed of the gift of God, we have enjoyed the blessings of the Lord and of God's presence. We've enjoyed so many wonderful things. Now, are we going to give free reins to our tongue and let it bless the God of glory? And then on the other end, does it curse and lie and harm others? No, brothers and sisters, this is not what God wants in our lives. Because the Lord made us promises, has made us promises in his gospel, where he says that anyone who follows him and believes in him, well, this person then shall be transformed. It says that this person's behavior, their past personality, their old man who before was a sinner, who lived in wickedness and evil, they now become renewed. They're regenerated and become a new man in the Lord. And our Lord Jesus in his gospel also mentions and says, the old things have passed. The old things of this person have passed away. And now this person becomes something new, a new man, a new woman before God. Because the Lord changes. The Lord changes. But he changes when you open your heart, and when you prepare yourself for that change, so then God works that change. So our hope is that all of us be transformed. It says we must be transformed in glory to glory. We must be transformed, and we are compared to the morning light. Now, that dawn, it begins to rise and rise until it brightens, until we find the full light of the sun. And that's exactly how our life is, the spiritual life of those who follow the Lord. There is this promise from God. And so not everything is bad. Not everything is perverse, as the apostle said. Well, yes, the tongue is deadly poison, but only to those who do not tame their feelings and the way that they think and act and the way that they do things. But they only seek pleasure in themselves and they only seek to hurt others. And so, yes, that tongue becomes deadly poison for them. And also, where it says that with the tongue they bless God and with the tongue they curse other people, Well, we are here in God's path, trying to avoid these things from happening to us in our spiritual life. But we want to truly change, and we want to be transformed as God has promised from the very beginning that He is going to be transforming and changing us. Our spiritual life should be of progress. And I repeat, it is like the dawn, that morning light that brightens until its full shine. And so we will reach that perfection. And to be perfect, it's that person who tames their tongue, restrain it. It's that person who, yes, places restraint. Because there is the heart. There is your mindset. There is your ability to reason and to make decisions if you should or should not do things. If you should place restraint on things in order to do God's will and please God in all things. This is our fight, and this is what we must live. And so I know many have read chapter 3 and have had many questions from brothers and sisters who asked about the tongue and said, "Sister, is it the gossip that is spoken in church? Is it criticism? Or is it that there is a lot of complaining, and this is why the apostle speaks about the tongue?" But no, it's not just gossip. It's not just the criticism or the complaints that there are in the congregation, but it's also in the general sense in the world and the things that can happen with this small member. But this small member, for all of those who seek God, who convert to God, who come to this path, and who get to know this Bible, this book, and who continue in it and seek the Lord, well then, this small member is no longer going to be hell for them, but this person will be perfect, because that is what God has promised. He has promised that His church, His congregation, His followers, one day will attain perfection. And we continue here when He says that with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Now, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? So no, a spring, it has the same water. It doesn't have fresh water and bitter at the same time. That can't be the case. Therefore, He said, you, as believers, you who say to be children of God, well then you cannot be like this spring, who maybe will spring forth fresh and bitter water. So if there is no such spring that sends forth fresh and bitter water, well then you, as believers, you cannot allow from your mouth to come what is good and also bad. It must only be good, because you must be perfect. You must live your life in holiness so that God may be with you, so that you may see the works of God. And here it says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So this is the teaching that you needed to correct this phenomenon, this flaw in that spiritual life of some who had not wanted to convert to the Lord. So they have then lent themselves to be used and compared and say that they have a poisonous tongue. But the believers in the Lord are not going to be compared in this way or treated this way, because they will submit themselves to the Lord and follow the Lord. And so their tongue will only be used to glorify God, to love the Lord, to bless Him, and to only wish good on others. To hope and wish that God blesses other people, to guard them, to have a safe trip, to have health, to be protected, to receive prosperity in their financial life. Well, so many things. This is what our tongue should desire for others. And so, the apostle, he then speaks of wisdom in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So this is saying that people call themselves wise. Let us keep in mind verse number one, who there were many who thought themselves to be teachers, but they weren't. So he says to them, no, this is not being wise. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. So jealousy, envy, and all of these things that apparently are constantly ruling in the congregation, perhaps, or in the people who are newcomers to the church and have not yet had a change of life, we might find this kind of phenomenon in them. But in the brothers and sisters who have spiritual maturity, who have been in the church for some time, well, what must they do? They must have patience and teach people, and they have to be tolerant. And they should not worry so much about all of these flaws per se, about all of these weaknesses that the believers have, nor become upset, but continue on. Because in the church, we also hear that people say, well, no, I'm not going back because there's a person who doesn't greet me, and there's another person who gives me a bad face, and so I'd rather not go because they didn't look at me, they didn't greet or talk to me, and the other person said that I do this and I don't do that. So those who are mature, those that are mature in the church and in the Lord, have mercy and be patient with these people, because in the congregation there will always be this kind of phenomenon, because in the congregation we always have people coming who are newcomers, who don't know the Lord's path, and therefore the brothers and sisters who already know, well, be tolerant, teach with love and with wisdom. And so in verse 17, now the apostle, who has now switched the topic to wisdom and our behavior to never give free reins to the tongue for what is bad. It says, but the wisdom that is from above, it comes from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So this is the kind of behavior of the believers, those who now have spiritual maturity. And in verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So it is again about that behavior, as we find here, the apostle. He was upset with these people who thought that they were very wise, who gave themselves many titles, and he spoke about the poor tongue. But we also see here that the believers in the Lord, we are able to restrain ourselves. We are able to do God's will. If we love our God, then we do the Lord's will, and He will help us so that we are able to attain these things. We will attain and live an upright life, to be wise, to be careful, to never offend or hurt anyone, to never harm someone in which their life or something is destroyed because of our imprudence, but rather we are going to be light and we will shine, as the Lord says, that the children of light need to shine in the midst of the world. And so this is what we aspire to and we ask the Lord for, that we are not going to do all of these other things like some who did in antiquity, and maybe perhaps today these things are seen. But now we know that we, in the midst of our maturity, we are careful and we help other people. We teach people and always leading people toward the correct path, toward the path of truth, so that each person may receive the blessing from the Lord. And God, He will feel proud of us. And the Lord one day will say, this person, their mouth, their tongue, they only use it to praise and bless my name and to do what is upright. And may the Lord always say this of us, And may we be wise and have understanding, and that we may walk in this path. And look at how the Bible, there are so many examples and metaphors, and we see how people have different behaviors. But everything, all of this is redundant. All of this leads to the Lord's path, and it leads us to holiness. So let us seek holiness. Let us seek to walk in this path of perfection, which is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us continue onward. Let us not lose heart. Let us not turn back. We must continue, and we will see how the Lord will always be pleased with us. He will be delighted with us, and He will bless us. May the Lord bless you all. May God hear your prayers. May God see your needs, your petitions, your desires, and that now when we are praying, ask the Lord for your disease or for your need, whatever you desire, ask the Lord with all your heart, and also say to the Lord to help you to live a holy, upright life, so that you with your tongue may do what is right before Him. Let us pray to our God. Let us glorify the Lord. Let us pray. Holy Father, Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has left us with this wonderful gospel, you have taught us your ways. You are teaching us the way of holiness, this way of perfection. And Lord, you want us to walk down it, so that also one day we may be in your presence. We may be there in that holy place, in that place of holiness, on that holy mountain. We may be there in your presence, that we may be worthy of being able to arrive to that wonderful place, and that you, Lord, may look at us with eyes of mercy, that you have patience with us and help us to change, that you help us to live a holy, upright life, and help us to live in holiness, to live in the holiness that you want us to have in order to have fellowship with you, so that our prayers are heard by you, that our petitions you may also answer, so that you may grant us the desires of our heart. Lord, help us to live that holiness and perfection, and remove all these weaknesses and flaws from our body, from our being. May you place restraint on our tongue, but also on our thoughts, and also on the intentions of our heart, so that we may do what is righteous, what is good before you. And likewise, we may also do the same with our neighbor, with all the people that surround us, those that are close by, that they be happy with how we behave, with the good way that we live life, so that they too may follow in this path, this perfect, upright path that you are setting for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. And now, Lord, I ask for all of the church, for all the brothers and sisters in all places. This sermon is being watched in many countries, in many places, by many people. And I ask, Lord, that you stretch out your mighty hand and you bless them, that you heal their diseases, that you remove all traps of the enemy in the lives of these people, that you remove witchcraft and sorcery, that you remove curses. Lord, help each person. Give them joy. Give them happiness, peace, gladness in their heart, and healing to their physical bodies, and also healing to their soul and spirit. And Lord, bless each person, Holy Father, and hear their pleas, hear their laments and sorrows. Lord, do not turn away from us. Do not hide from us, Lord. Come to our lives, Lord. And may you be close to us, my Father. Do not turn away and help us, teach us. We are here to be taught by you to continue in this upright path. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. The honor and the glory be for the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Yo siento paz y gozo en mi corazón, porque Jesucristo a mí me libertó. Yo siento paz y gozo en mi corazón, porque Jesucristo a mí me libertó. Me libertó, me libertó de las cadenas, me libertó, me libertó, me libertó de las cadenas, me libertó. Yo siento paz y gozo en mi corazón, porque Jesucristo a mí me libertó. Yo siento paz y gozo en mi corazón, porque Jesucristo a mí me libertó. Me libertó, me libertó de las cadenas, me libertó. Me libertó, me libertó de las cadenas, me libertó.
Glory and honor for our God. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. God bless you. A big hug for you all and for the children. Kisses as usual, and God bless you all. Until next time, thank you.